So welcome to another episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. I'm your host, Anthony Beck, along with my co-host,
Jerry Brown, Jay Breezy. All right, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Sitting here watching the game, hopefully watching Jalen Waddle get me a win in fantasy so I can advance to the championship round. What about you?
Likewise, man. Hoping Waddle does as well. We just got to keep throwing him the ball, bro. I mean, these refs keep calling bull crap, but you know, we'll see. Hopefully win this game.
Yeah. Just get him the ball, man. That's all I need.
Honestly.
Don't get Devontae Parker the ball. I don't need that. That's who my opponent got.
You ain't got to worry about it.
But we got a special guest who has made regular appearances on here. And before we introduce him, we just want to say go stream, follow, and like Sauce Kicks and, you know, show some love there. We got Sauce, the host of Sauce Kicks, joining us. How you doing tonight?
Appreciate the shout out. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much.
Driving.
Yeah, we are. Well, hope everybody had a great. Matter of fact, before we even get into the show, how was y'all's Christmas? I mean,
oh man, my Christmas was busy but chill. If you feel me, I went to Tampa for the Gasparilla Bowl. See my girlfriend's family. I drove back, got home late on Christmas Eve, and I just chilled out, bro. But overall, it was a good Christmas, man. It was blessed.
That's good, man. How about you, Sauce?
I actually didn't really watch the bowl game because I was in Miami with my girl's family. I took her dad to a Heat game when we played the Pistons. Okay. Other than that, I mean, Christmas was straight. I would have wished the team would have won, but I mean, end of the day, who cares about the Gasparilla Bowl? So,
All right.
Hey, don't tell that to Central Florida fans; they apparently care.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie though. Like, I wanted us to win whatever bowl we're in, but if it's not like a playoff bowl, then it's not gonna hold too much significance after a while anyway. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. For me, Christmas was busy. Unfortunately, at work, but you know, I got to get off early enough to where I can really get with the family. So that check gonna look good, though. I know that much. that time I have gonna really look good. So, I mean, I'm cool with that. But other than that, it was cool. It was chill. You know, just chilling with family. You know how it is. Christmas, you get with your family, extended family. Always a good time.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Matter of fact, I saw Sauce's pops at our great grandmother's house.
Well, Jerry kind of mentioned it, but referenced it by saying he went to the Gasparilla Bowl.
Yeah.
So Florida laid an egg, losing.
We didn't even lay an egg. We didn't even have an egg to lay.
That's even worse. but we unfortunately ended up losing 29-17 to, you know what, I don't even care. I'm just going ahead and piss their fans off anyway. I don't care. To the Central Florida Golden Knights.
that shouldn't even be a real sentence.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. That's how bad it was. We lost 29-17, unfortunately.
Yep.
Whew. And you know, Jerry, you basically had a front row seat there. So, tell us, you know, what you saw out there. How bad was it?
I'll give you my whole breakdown, bro. It was pretty. It was really bad, actually. Man, it was a terrible game to see. I'll start with the offense. So, looked like we were running the ball pretty well. Like Damian Pierce and Malik Davis, obviously did their part. You know, they had a good game. But we went away from the running game. We kind of let Emory screw us up, bro. We had Emory in drop back situations trying to throw deep. And honestly, some of the times, you know, people were mad because he was overthrowing guys. Those same plays, when he was overthrowing guys, there were other guys wide open down the field as well. Like, I kid you not. There were at least two or three people open on most of those plays. And it was pretty frustrating seeing that, bro, from where I was. You know what I mean? But yeah, he had a horrible game. Trevez Johnson looked horrible, absolutely horrible. He got burned a few times, you know, a couple times he could have made a tackle in space, didn't make it, bad angles. etc. But on a positive note, I think our young linebackers and Powell as a defensive end slash linebacker, Powell, Scooby, Hopper, and Wingo played exceptionally well. I think those guys are going to be able to have a tremendous career together at UF if we get the right coordinators and everything in place. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about that. Special teams, Finley Graham ended up going out there. I think he caught one punt return, and that was it. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I saw, man. It was just – it was a bad game, bro. It was a bad game.
Yeah, for me, it was the same Florida team we saw before the Florida State game.
Yes.
Just inconsistent, terrible quarterback play.
Right.
Getting bullied in the trenches, actually.
We did get bullied.
Which I'm not going to say it surprised me, because it really didn't when you think about the whole season. But it surprised me by who bullied us in the trenches.
Right.
Central Florida should not be bullying Florida in the trenches. That shouldn't happen. So,
yeah.
Like, when you saw that, it's like, you know what, it's just going to be one of them kind of games. I thought we scored first. I'm like, okay, you know, these guys, they out there, they care. You know, they want to go out there and get a win. You see, okay, right back and score. I mean, Central Florida came right back and scored. I was like, you know what, it's going to be one of them kind of games. I can already see it coming.
Yeah, man, it was.
And for me, the defense is getting gashed in the run game again.
Yeah.
And I'm like what, like the play, like, do y'all even care at this point? The players look like they care. The coaching staff didn't.
Right.
And that's what was disappointing to me. I know y'all fired and y'all gone shot last game. But come on, man. At least care enough to win the game. Go out on top.
Yeah, man. Pretty much. I don't understand why we kept running that 5-2 though. Like, it wasn't working.
And Sauce, you just be happy you ain't watched this game, because I'm telling you right now, you would have flipped out.
I mean, I'm usually chill and calm when it comes to sports games. Now, I'll feel a little bummed if we lose, but the little bit that I did see when I got back to my hotel room, it was that drive where Shorter had got carted off, and it was like fourth and whatever, and they sacked Emery. Like, just watching him play the offensive line a little bit that I saw, I was just like, these boys didn't have it in them. Like, I'm surprised they even had the lead on UCF. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just looking at that, I'm just like, this ain't even, like, man.
And I'm glad you brought up Justin Shorter, because I'm finna just say this right now. And I'm speaking as a former wide receiver. That is the one thing we fear right there. If there's any fears, that's that play where he got the way he got hit, that's what we fear. When the quarterback leaves the receiver out to dry. And I said in that moment, after this game, the entire wide receiver corps got to jump Emery after that. I'm sorry. They just got to jump him for that, because – Like I said, you wide receiver should not be left out to dry like that. The man was not moving after that hit. Like, he legit was not moving. He was knocked out cold. That should not happen. Like, that shouldn't happen, because first of all, it was a bad throw. Like, and you threw basically in the double coverage. Why are you even throwing that ball? And second of all, like, you can see, you, as bad as it sounds, you can see the hit coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's one of the ones you see it coming, you're like, oh, no, please don't let this be as bad as it's about to look, and boom. It's as bad as it looks, because he was down on the ground. You were there. He was down on the ground for how long, about 5-7 minutes?
I ain't going to lie, bro. I left the stadium by the time that play even happened. Like, as soon as I left the stadium, I saw it on Twitter, what happened. I was like, bro, what the heck?
It seemed like he was on the ground for about almost 10 minutes.
Yeah, he was out cold for a minute, bro. So, yeah, that was scary. Because I was wondering why the game hadn't ended yet. And then I saw on Twitter, I was like, oh, shoot.
So, any quarterbacks that listen to this podcast, don't leave your receivers out to dry like that. Like, seriously, don't. Them hits hurt. Now, it's great that he was able to be released from the hospital the next day, and he's going to make a full recovery. He announced he's coming back next year, so that's that's a huge addition for next year's team. So, I mean, just happy to see him doing a lot better, because that hit was vicious.
It was.
And it looked worse than what it apparently was. So, that's a good thing.
And what's crazy, bro, is Emory threw a pass like that last year against Arkansas, where he almost got Shorter killed, if you remember.
I think that's why Shorter, not to say he played timid, but was kind of hesitant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got a good point right there. Sometimes he would catch it and he, like, crouch up.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it now. I mean, look, anybody that's going to play timid, they see a hit like that.
Yeah, because he started catching like that this year. He didn't do it like that last year.
Yeah, but from what I watched, you know, like I said, the defense was terrible once again. I mean, they got stops early, but then they eventually got worn down. And Emory pretty much couldn't sustain drives for a lot of the game. And then speaking of Emory, did either one of y'all see the alleged Snapchat?
I saw it.
Yep, I did. Now, I don't know if it's real or what, because I feel like that's something old. But then again, it's something he could have probably did. But if he did, like, that's messed up, bro. Like, a lot of people in Gator Twitter stood by him when a lot of the play that he put out there was unbearable.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying took up for him. I'm not saying defend, but stayed by and supported, if that makes sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because I got so much flake for not defending him, but speaking up on his behalf of, like, the situation that he was given. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, basically stating the facts as to why he performed the way he did. Not just saying, oh, he sucked, he's bad. But here's the thing. You have to state why somebody is performing the way they do. You can't just give a description or a review and just say, oh, they suck, they're terrible.
Right.
Okay, what makes them terrible? Why are they terrible? And I listed everything. I've even done it on previous episodes of you guys' podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And just to hear how the, like, group chats, the timeline. Now, Facebook, boy, that joint had me rolling.
Woo!
That was the first place I read that his performance wasn't that great. And I was like, yeah.
14 for 36, I think it was.
Oh, that's bad. That's 38. That's a 38% completion percentage.
Man, that's horrible, bro.
Nah.
That's 38% right there. That, man, you completed less than 40% of your passes? Man, come on now.
All I had to do was go 17 with 38 and hit three more passes that were touchdowns, and we'd have been all right. But no, he couldn't even hit those wide open ones.
The man couldn't hit the side of a barn door. I mean, come on, man. And my thing is, I don't know if that Snapchat was real either, but if it was, for you to have that kind of attitude right after a game in which you were one of the main, if not the main reason why we lost the game. You had an attitude tells me that you didn't care at all. Like, you basically, your mentality, I'm leaving anyway. So, I mean, why should I care? If you had that mentality, it made me say this, and I hate to even say it, but I'm going to just say it. I'm glad he gone now. Glad he officially finna be gone now, because we don't need players with that kind of attitude on the team like that. We don't need that at all.
Now, here's the thing that I'm going to say. It can be kind of like, it can be taken any kind of way, or it can be looked at, I don't know how to really say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of fans and a lot of people within Gator Twitter or just Gator Nation period have vendettas, agendas, narratives, whatever you want to call it. And they take the smallest thing and blow it out of proportion for reactions, because they know people are going to follow suit. So, for example, if Emory didn't make that actual snap, and it was fake, then that lets me know that people have vendettas and they'll say anything just to put it out to stir the pot and brew hate. You know what I mean? And that's some of the things I don't get, like I don't vibe with. Like, for example, the rumors about DaJuan Black transferring, the stuff about C-Rock. You know, people say stuff to, you know, make people upset and to, you know, push those clicks, push those likes, retweets, and to just, you know, make people become sheep or whatever. You know what I mean? So
right.
Right.
If he
and DaJuan Black shut the rumors down real quick, by the way.
Oh yeah, definitely. And bro, and that's crazy because like people are grown, bro. Like these be grown people who just miserable in life come up and just create stuff. Now if Emery did say that, then he's messed up for that. I ain't gonna cuss him out and stuff like that. I'm trying to be respectful, but at the end of the day, man, that's just a bad look.
Oh, horrible look.
Yeah, it's a horrible look because you are starting because Anthony Richardson was out due to a meniscus injury. Mm-hmm. They had surgery for it. So you were going to be the starter. You knew that. And for you to have, like I said, if you'd had that kind of mentality, if that is true, that says a lot about not only who you are as a player, but who you are as a person, really. Because if you basically don't quit, because if you basically quit in that moment, because it seemed like you quit. If you quit right now, that means you willing to quit every day for the rest of your life and whatever you do.
But you know what's crazy, bro? Emery was thinking about transferring in 2019.
Oh, I know. Like I heard about there was rumors about him transferring.
Yeah, he was literally going to transfer. Like, because he was frustrated. I guess he was frustrated with the Kyle Trask situation.
Yeah, look at what Kyle Trask did compared to what you did, bro.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't gonna lie though, but you got to look at quarterback coaching situation too. Like, I'm not out here.
Yeah, Kyle Trask did have Brian Johnson.
Like, I'm not trying to provide excuses, but you got to look at it. Trask, even though he waited his turn, he didn't start because Derek King was in front of him and stuff like that. When it was time for him to perform, he stepped up and balled.
Yeah, immediately.
Now, granted, his situation wasn't as similar to Emery's because Kyle Trask, you know, by the time he hit his first full year of starting, he had over 100 career pass attempts. He had a competent quarterback coach. His coaching staff wasn't checked out, and he just had the it factor. Like, he didn't care what social media said about him. He didn't have his father on Twitter, Facebook defending him, cussing out, trying to fight fans and stuff. Like, when it was time to play, Cal played. Now, I ain't saying Cal was perfect because he did make some mistakes, like humans do, like real football players do, but he didn't get complacent. He didn't stay in his head when he made a mistake.
Facts. Kyle moved on so fast from mistakes, bro.
Exactly. Yeah, he did. And
he didn't feel sorry for himself either.
Because, listen, Kyle Trask grew up mid-game. Like, one of the first things I noticed about him was he had a low pocket awareness, like Kentucky. Like, he was staying still like a statue. But once he made the progressions, he gained that, the experience, whatever, like he would step up in the pocket, he would maneuver to avoid sacks, and that's one thing I loved about him, because LSU, he showed me that he knew how to do that, and I was a Kyle Trask fan that moment on, but I just wasn't the biggest Kyle Trask fan. Like, I wasn't this Kyle for Heisman stuff, because he still had flaws in his game, which we saw against LSU the following year.
Yep. Well, yeah, like I said, he did have Brian Johnson as his quarterback coach, not Garrett McGee. And we've heard
Garrett was bad.
Yeah, we've heard the stories. Like, Jared, we've been on other podcasts. We've been on For the Love of the Game. We've been on Talking Sauce. Mm-hmm. We heard some of the stories about Garrett McGee. It got to a point where the quarterbacks didn't even listen to Garrett. They listened to Dan Mullen. And this is going to – Sauce, you might laugh at this one. It got to a point where – John Hevesy literally had to tell Dan Mullen, look, you might want to take over as the full-on quarterback coach, because these quarterbacks ain't listening to Garrett McGee. They don't want to listen to him. He pretty much don't know what he's doing. Even Dan Mullen said no to that.
I ain't going to lie to you. I was shocked that Mullen wasn't taking Spurs advice anymore, because I remember they had a whole video and, tweets about it and stuff. Like, how he's different from the previous head coach. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, mention Mullen a lot because we have a new coach. Obviously, we're in a new era and everything. But I don't know. It's just weird to me, like, how somebody could be that checked out.
And oh, yeah.
It trickles down to your players. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, you can tell all year. I think we've mentioned this before. After the Alabama game, like, that was it. Like, he just checked out because they gave everything they had that game and they came up short. I feel like if they would have won that game, it would have been a completely different season.
I completely agree.
I mean, even though we lost, it should have still been a whole, like, it should have been a totally different season. Like, the defense should have came together and said, hey, man, we need to learn to wrap up. We need to take film serious. We need to take weight room practice serious. Now, I mean, the offensive line, they did well blocking against Alabama and Georgia.
Step back, bro.
Like, Bron was manhandling them boys. Like, guys who going to be first, day one, day two draft picks this year and next year, he was manhandling them. But then when we played Kentucky, South Carolina, LSU, all these, like, teams who were on their freshmen, walk-ons, third, fourth screen, they was getting manhandled. They just ain't sit right with me.
That just tells you the inconsistency, bro.
Yeah, definitely. And we do have it is a new era, so we know Billy Napier is the guy. And we've just seen what he's done just, about a month in on the job. Recruiting-wise, that's gotten a lot better. There's more structure. I mean, he was not lying when he said he's going to hire an army.
No, that's man.
I mean, it's new hires every day, whether it's on field, off the field staff. It's a lot of people in that field department. And it's impressive. It really is. I mean, this is a guy that we can tell. He takes his job seriously. He knows the expectations. And honestly, I feel like we said this before, but I really genuinely feel like this time, this is the right guy for the job.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I'm not trying to compare him to old coaches because I know comparing old times, you know, former players, former staff is done all the time. But, like, when we had Ron Zook at first, like, Zook took recruiting serious. And then when we got Urban, it just went up a whole nother notch.
Right.
Now, granted, you know, Billy was coaching G5. He still has Power 5 experience. He coached at teams that won natties.
Yeah.
He brought in guys that are currently producing in the NFL. So it's not like we're bringing in some random scrub who was a PE teacher 4 years ago or something like that.
Right. And the guys he's hiring, like on his coaching staff, these are guys with Power 5 experience. These are guys that have coached in the NFL.
Yeah, man.
And speaking of coaching in the NFL, I wouldn't be surprised if a few of them guys he's targeting are next up to be hired.
Bro, we getting roped back.
Season. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to just go ahead and throw this one name out there. If we land Carl Scott on this coaching staff and we pair him with Corey Raymond.
Yep, I saw that.
I'm going to tell you right now. Any DB that we may want and really, really want, you better make the right decision. That's all I'm going to say.
Getting
coached up by them? Come on now.
I'm ready to see how they transform our current guys.
No, me too, bro.
Now, my only issue, though, with where our coaching staff, they had to coach guys they didn't recruit. And to be honest, that's one of the biggest headaches with coaching changes. Like, you always have to coach guys that you didn't recruit, guys that don't really fit your scheme, system, or your style of, you know what I mean, players. Right. But I honestly feel like they can make a difference with the guys we have. Like,
especially if we know they fully buy in.
Yeah, like, people like, that's been a big issue, guys haven't bought in. And I feel like it's been like that since 2008 ended. But we got guys like Hill, Perkins, Marshall, a few guys that I did forget about and probably not going to name, but I feel like they can revamp the safeties and all the DBs and every other position that we have to, you know, to produce basically and get wins. So I'm with it. I'm on board. I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean, you're always gonna have guys that ain't buying. We lost a few guys in the transfer portal. Jacob Copeland just announced he's going to Maryland. And I'm gonna be honest, I don't know if he made the right decision doing that, but that's neither here nor there.
Listen, it's some stuff that we can't really speak on, but I hope that he doesn't get involved with when he go up there. Because
that's why I said what I just said. Right.
Y'all think so?
Yeah. Listen. Maryland ain't what you think it is. That's all I'm
going to
say.
The DMV a whole nother breed,
man. He's going to be in Baltimore, bro, tripping up on some stuff.
This man said Baltimore.
I hope he don't go to Baltimore.
You so better stay away from Baltimore, Waldorf, and all of that.
Nah, man. DMV's rough, bro.
I'm trying to tell you. please don't get involved in none of that.
There's a lot more to get involved with in that area compared to, you know, the simple old game.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't a whole lot to do in Gainesville. It's some stuff you can do, but yeah, like we just said, DMV is a whole nother monster out there. But yeah. And losing him, so now we need a guy for the slot. So there's one guy that I just hope and pray we able to land. And y'all probably know who it is. The Utah transfer, Jacob Cowan. I feel like he not only comes in and fills that void that we have missing, he's immediately the best receiver on the team as soon as he steps on campus.
Right.
So adding a guy like him would help. This is why I said, like, yeah, Jerry, I know you think we may go 7-5 next year. I understand that. That's fans that think that I understand that because of what we're losing, you know, what we've had to deal with. But this is why I said, and I said this at the early signing day when we pulled off what we pulled off. Late signing day, getting the guys he needs there and utilizing this transfer portal the right way. If he does those two things, we can do a lot better than 7-5 and 8-4. Like, really? If you really think about it, because there's still talent on this current roster right now that hasn't been playing, that's going to play now.
Yeah. It's tough to see, bro. I mean, I'm not going to put my expectations nowhere. I just want to see what we got. I mean, I was on Twitter, but I was talking about how it's going to be a long-term thing, and fans are already talking about, you know, the immediate impacts and this and that. I'm like, all right, bro. I'm not setting myself up again.
Yeah. It depends on, you know, the roster. Like I said, utilizing the transfer portal, getting the right guys. Because we're going to have to replace some guys from the portal. We're going to have to replace those guys. So if we utilize the portal right, we sign guys in the late signing period that can come in and play right away. Because I'm telling you right now, Kamari Wilson's coming in playing right away. So, I mean, I think we pretty much booked that one. So he can come in and play right away. I think Shamar James can come in and play right away. Guys like that. Impact players.
Shamar gonna have to work, though, bro.
You said what?
He gonna have to work. Because yeah, boys
they,
we got
they, in, they gotta work.
Them that, boys we got in Scoob, Powell.
He's gonna play next year, too. I can't wait to see Scooby play.
Scooby is good, bro. He's gonna put on a little bit more muscle.
Yeah, so I'm ready to see him. I'm ready to see him play. I mean, guys, just talented guys like that that are going to be playing because Billy Napier ain't with the seniority crap.
The Wingo can ball, too. He's going to
play
the best
player regardless of what they are.
Wingo look great. So the best player
is a true freshman. He's going to play them. Like, it's that simple.
Bro, we got Ventrell coming back. We got Scoob, Powell, Hopper, Wingo. I mean, excuse me, bro. We got options, bro. So I ain't tripping on that.
I don't think people understand how huge that is for Ventrell Miller to announce he coming back because we sorely missed him on this defense.
Yeah, I feel like without him, we lost accountability, mentorship. Somebody who could have led because I felt like him and Zach Carter would have held down the front seven and it could have trickled down to the secondary and them boys could have played a little bit better. But, I mean, it is what it is.
It's funny though, because fans wanted to get him off the field, right? Y'all saw the tweet.
Bro,
get Ventrell off the field. Get him off the field. He don't need to be playing. As soon as he get hurt and he ain't playing, all of a sudden the defense look terrible.
That's how he tight, bro. Fans are literally like saying stuff about him, bro. And not just him. You know who else could be trash that's really, really good? James Houston. I never understood a James Houston hate.
It, bro, somebody, listen, this is what it is, bro. I've been saying this since y'all had me on, bro. The fan base will see somebody tweet or say something that's catchy, somebody that they want to be like or somebody they want
like,
to
bro, them. Yes, bro. Yes.
Then they'll alter their beliefs and say the same thing so they can fit in.
Bro, it's nasty work, bro. Like, it's because that happened with Tony, but Tony showed the whole, like, everybody.
I never understood the Tony. I'm like, do y'all not realize how good this man actually is?
Well, the reason why people hated Tony is because of his personality. He also rapped, and because they saw somebody else hate him, then they said, oh, yeah, let me hate him as well. That's how it be, bro. I'm telling you. Like, nah, that's literally how it be.
The people always do that. They always do that. It's just because, bro. Even Damian Pierce. People was ready to get Damian Pierce on like third string, bro. People wanted DeMarcus Bowman to get carries over him this year. I'm like, what? Like, are you serious,
bro? The offseason last year was so ridiculous, bro. They said so many people should have been on the sideline, and then when the guys produced, they would beg for him. Like you said, Damian Pierce, bro. They said Bowman and Naquan should be running back one and two, and put him at running back three. They was like, oh, he should have went to the league. And I'm like, went to the league? I'm like, are you crazy?
It had me tight, bro. It had me tight.
Man, listen, I mean, like, y'all want the best players to be off the field just based on y'all beliefs, or fake beliefs, I should say.
Gator Twitter is full of narratives, bro.
Exactly. I mean, every fan base has it. It's just that ours are very extreme.
Very extreme. Because then when somebody has a different opinion, they try to bully that person, bro.
Not even bully, bro. Like, they try to belittle them, call them all type of stuff, retarded and this and that, dumb. It's just like, if you critique the timeline's favorite player, you don't know sports. Or they're going to categorize you as something. And if you don't, you know, join in and agree to what the masses are saying, then you're ridiculed and all this other stuff, which is stupid. But, I mean, I get it, I guess. I mean, half the people doing that never been in a real football locker room, like, as a part of a team. None of them played before or have the experience. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at all.
It's just annoying, bro, because there's always going to be that one player or a few players.
And the biggest thing with expectations, like, to pick back up on that, like, the fans will say, oh, I see us losing X, Y, and Z amount of games. And when we do, they're upset.
Yeah, they'll act surprised. Like, oh, we should have won. Like, didn't y'all predict us to lose to LSU? Didn't you predict us to lose to Georgia? So why are you upset that you made that prediction?
Now, I can understand if somebody's – if they feel a type of way with the way we lost. But
yeah, I think that's what
my we lost and we should have won. Yeah, I can see that.
But it's just the fact that they'll say we'll win and lose this amount of games, and when we actually do, then they say the season was terrible. I'm like, bro, you literally predicted this. Like,
man, listen. Like, it's just wild. It's wild because you see it every day on the timeline. It's like, at this point, I just start muting people. I'm like, I can't see this every day.
Now you know the one that's growing right now. I'm not sure how true it is. If it's, I don't know, because I haven't seen him play. But for some reason, the timeline right now hates Carlos Del Rio. Like, hates the kid. Then he's this and that.
Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't like Carlos that much out of high school. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, he's from Georgia, and Georgia, we produce quarterbacks.
Yeah, I didn't like him out of high school that either.
And he played good competition when he transferred to Gainesville.
Wait, what?
Like, when he transferred to Gainesville High School, that's when he played good competition.
He went to Grayson, I believe, right?
No. So, he started Ekman Ehtern, And when he tried to transfer to Grayson, GHSA blocked it so Jake Garcia could go there. So he went to Cartersville where Trevor Lawrence played at. You know Coach Phillips, who's the AD back at the crib?
Okay, gotcha.
That's what he was coaching. And he was Trevor Lawrence's quarterback coach. And
that's right. Yeah, you can tell about that. Yep.
So he went there. And they went to state, but they lost to Warner Robins. D-Mill Ohio School. Him and Vaughn.
Yeah,
but I mean, like I said, like me personally, I haven't seen anything from him to say, "Oh, he's good enough to lead us and you know have success." It's just I'm basing off what I see him do in high school. But obviously, I haven't seen what he did in high school. I mean, not high school, sorry, college. So I can't really say that he'll have success or do well. That's my take on it.
Right. And the other thing is, they in love with Jalen Kitna.
Not everybody, but
more people in love with Jalen Kitten than Carlos Del Rio.
I agree.
And it's like, you look at the numbers, you look at the film, Del Rio put up better numbers and looked a little bit better out of high school. So if people don't like Del Rio coming out of high school, why are they in love with Jalen Kitten?
I got two names for you. Kyle Trask.
Bro.
Bingo.
Listen, bro, the fan base fell in love with that air raid offense. Yeah. Because to be real, bro, I ain't gonna lie, it gave me flashes of what Danny and them did back in the 90s and a little bit of Rex and them. Like, don't get me wrong, like I had those vibes, but at the end of the day, bro, we don't have any more Danny Warfels or Kyle Trask on roster. Now I'm not saying Kitna can't get it done because obviously Trask came out of nowhere, he did his thing. It's just that I don't see it right now. Like, he could prove me wrong. Like, I would love for him to prove me wrong. But right now, I don't think that's going to fit Billy. And I don't think Billy is going to come in and say Kitna is the best quarterback on roster. He's QB1. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it happening right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's developed, but.
Yeah, I feel like all our guys can get developed with the approach that Billy's went with. With hiring a staff, bro, there's too many people on that staff for us to not develop the football players for life on the field, academically, and also out of school, and also recruit bringing a staff that can recruit and bring in guys. So I feel like we should do well in all those aspects. Am I going to put an expectation on it and say we need to do amazing year in and year out? No, but I think we can get the job done. So where we are competing for ACC titles, where we are competing for national championships.
Agreed.
Like, I think it can get to that level, and that's what I wanted to get to, but I don't want to put the expectation out there and then not get there, because then I'm going to feel sick. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to pick this back up because I hate to get off topic, but Jerry, resident Dolphins fan, I think Jalen Waddle clutched it for me.
He got you.
I think he just clutched it for me.
He got you.
Well, he did. He had a first or a touchdown?
Touchdown.
He had a few catches, then a touchdown, bro.
Yeah.
Was it a return or was it a reception?
It was a receiving one.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Does it going to count? Because he came below him, right?
Yeah, I think it counts as a –
Yeah, that's receiving.
Yeah, it's a receiving touchdown.
Yep.
He's got 9 for 87 in the touchdown. He's got me 23 points right now.
The boy Golden, man.
And looking at my matchup real quick, Devontae Parker has still not recorded a catch.
I told you, bro. You ain't got to worry about it.
I'm good.
We don't even use him in the offense like that.
So looking at my bracket, if I advance, I will advance to, I think, the championship round. Let me see. Let me look at my bracket real quick. Sorry, y'all. Live radio. This is what we're doing on here. Fantasy football, that series. Yes. I'm in the winner's bracket as a 4 seed with an 8-6 record. Going against the top seed who has an 11-3 record, and it looks like I'm finna boot them right out of the playoffs and go to the championship round. Or no, they going to the consolation round.
See you flourishing out here, Avery.
So I win the championship round. I need my money on time.
Wait, how much did they pay you for winning?
Gotta check. I think they said it was like 100. Because we didn't do like a huge we ain't doing like a huge thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to see right now. Yeah, that's about what it is.
That's good. That's a good deal. I gave up on fantasy, bro, because all my guys are getting hurt. Like
that's happened to me. That's why my record is 8-6 right there. That's literally why. You just said it.
Like I simply shouldn't be this bad.
Like getting my guys are getting hurt. Matter of fact, James Robinson just got hurt. So now I got to take him out the lineup.
It's sick, bro.
Like I just can't deal with it. I can't do it.
Like I got Kadarius Toney. As soon as I got Kadarius, started getting hurt, bro.
Like he got hurt as soon as you got. Yeah, that happened to me too.
It was just horrible. He had like 189 yards receiving. Nobody picked him up. I picked him up, hurt.
Yeah, and I had Derrick Henry, but he had to go on IR.
See what I'm saying, man?
And then in another league, I had Christian McCaffrey, and then he kept getting hurt.
I had CMC too. I will never get him again.
Yeah, I'm not getting him again either.
Enough is enough.
It's the second year in a row that this has happened to me. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, man.
I get the number one pick is Derrick Henry from here on out.
Derrick Henry. Kamara's a good get. I've heard Swift is good too.
See, I would get him in like the second or third round.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, Detroit trash, but he balling for him, so. That's the same with Robinson. Like, the Jags are trash, but James Robinson is still balling before he tore his Achilles. But that didn't help.
What are y'all thoughts on Trevor Lawrence?
He's in a terrible situation. He doesn't have a good offensive line. He lost his head coach in the middle of his rookie season. So
yeah, I mean, it's a bad situation.
And I mean, to be real, say
he's a bust already. It's like, come on, man.
To be real, rookie quarterbacks shouldn't be graded and judged how they are, you know, basically like what the narrative is. Like, if they don't make it to the playoffs, have 10 plus wins, have X amount of yards, touchdown, interception ratio, then they're bust. That's unfair because you got to think about it. They go to all these teams who suck, like the teams who won 0 to maybe 3 games the year before, a team who has a terrible offensive line. I mean, trenches ultimately sucks. They don't have enough skill guys. How do you think a quarterback is just going to come in and just fix all of that? Like,
with absolutely nothing around him.
Like, didn't exactly. Peyton Manning throw 28 interceptions his rookie year with the Colts?
I mean, but at the same time. He threw almost 30 interceptions. I mean, at the same time, he was doing that in college.
Yeah, not that much, not to that level though. He wasn't throwing that many. It was bad because people forget when he got drafted by the Colts, they were bad. Like they had just lost Marshall Faulk. Like they were bad.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, bro. Like with quarterbacks like Tua, Trevor, like they need more time. Like quarterbacks have to fit in a system to succeed, and they also need an offensive line who can protect them, and they also need skilled guys who can get it done, you know what I mean, route running, guys who can block for the running backs, you know what I mean, like they need the whole nine.
And I'm not super sold on Zach Wilson with the Jets either. I'm not sold on him yet, but he's not in a great situation either. Who does he have to throw to?
Literally, bro. It's horrible.
It is, and I'm just thinking about this. I'm like, the 49ers really, if you think about it, they did it right. They did it the right way. I mean, Trey Lance, they could have threw Trey Lance out there and let him get his growing pains. They could have did that, but we all knew that they weren't because Jimmy was there. I mean, they were going to go with Jimmy for one more year, and then they'll transition to Trey Lance. They're right. Doing it the right way. They're giving them time to kind of develop, learn under somebody else. Then next year when he's fully ready to play, he can go out there. Now he's got weapons to throw to because the 49ers are in the middle of a playoff push right now. I mean, they're not great, but they're better than the Jets. They're clearly better than the Jets and the Jaguars.
Right.
That's what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers. He came in and sat behind Brett and got to learn. You know what I mean?
Yep.
David Garrard got to do it a little bit under Leftwich, even though that's not a great example. But you still give your guys time to grow and learn. You know, I want to say you could look at Brady's situation. He got called up, and the rest is history.
He had to learn behind Drew Bledsoe. Once Drew Bledsoe got hurt, that was the ball game. Because once Tom got in there, I mean, them boys got to the Super Bowl. He won. He's like, okay, this is the guy. Yeah, the rest is history. He's like, this is the guy right here. So he didn't even start. You know, like, he didn't even start right away.
Right, right.
And with Dak, the only reason why he had to play is because Romo got hurt. But Kellen Moore got – Dak Prescott was like the fourth-string quarterback. The third-string guy got hurt, so he moves up. Kellen Moore, the backup, gets hurt. He broke his ankle. So now Dak's the second-string quarterback. And then in a preseason, I think in a practice, Tony Romo gets hurt. So now Dak Prescott's the starting quarterback. He's got to play – in preseason, and then he's got to start the season, but he plays so well, it's like, how can you take the job away from him now? Now you have to go with him. And Dak was in a great situation at the time, when you think about it. Like, he had a decent head coach. He had a great running game, a great offensive line, and he had weapons to throw to. Trevor Lawrence don't have that.
No, he doesn't.
Trevor Lawrence don't have that.
He doesn't. And everything they have that was supposed to help him either hurt or they, you know, let slide.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, he's going to have ETN coming back, I think. I think it'll be smart for them to draft maybe, like, Jameson Williams or something. I think that would be good for Trevor. So.
Yeah, but they need offensive line help, too.
Yeah, they do. They do. Draft the Lance.
Yeah, they need offensive line help.
Especially in pass pro.
Yeah, I don't think that draft pick is a pick you want to make. But and talking about Florida, so they landed quarterback Jack Miller, transfer from Ohio State. What are you guys' thoughts on him? And what he brings to the table.
I saw a few bits of film. I think he's a very, very talented passer. I think he's a gifted arm. I think what he lacks maybe is a little bit of accuracy on like deep balls and a little bit of accuracy as far as like back shoulder throws in red zone. But other than that, like, I think he's a pretty solid player. Some decision making needs to be cleaned up. I think he's gonna be a great piece to add as far as depth. I don't know if I see him starting. If he does start, you know, yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna wait until spring to give a to give a take.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it for depth purposes because Anthony Richardson, let's be honest, he's had an injury prone. I mean, that's the thing. He can't stay healthy right now. So,
right.
You need a capable backup. And, you know, that's part of the reason why Emory's gone, because this guy's coming in. So, I mean, you need capable backups. You need a guy that can go out there. Because he's probably going to be the quarterback during the spring since Richardson's out.
Yeah,
so, he's going to get reps right there to learn the offense. And that's going to hurt Anthony Richardson because – he's not going to be able to get those reps in the spring unless he has a miraculous recovery. And I don't know if he will. I mean, yeah, he'll have what? Spring in April. They start spring football in what? March? They start practice?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he can get out there for spring, but I'm not sure if he will.
Yeah. I got a question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
How do y'all feel about, well, obviously, one of our rivals out west lost a top recruit or the top recruit to HBCU. Oh, how do y'all feel about our staff losing recruits to HBCUs? Because we just lost out on a four-star lineman who's considering FAMU in his top five over UF.
Really?
Well, if it's who I think it is, Christian Miller?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't expect Florida to land him regardless. So, I mean – it's not a surprise, but I will say this. HBCUs are starting to get put on the map. That's what I'm honestly proud of right there. HBCUs are starting to get noticed more.
It should, to be real, it should have been on the map because a lot of guys have, in like the past, I want to say 5 to 8 years, who are D1 have transferred to HBCUs. You know what I mean? For example, Grambling, I want to say back in 2015 when they won the HBCU National Championship, their quarterback was a former 4-star Ole Miss commit. And, you know, that's just the name one. And a lot of people don't really remember him or know him unless they paid attention to Ole Miss or Grambling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't the first instance to where high sought out the recruits committed to HBCUs. It's just that Travis Hunter having the rep and the notoriety that he has, you know, put that on the spotlight. And plus, it's prime time. You know what I mean? He was getting guys from Southern Miss. He was getting guys from, obviously, UF because he got James Houston. Like, this is a guy who can attract talent. You know what I mean? Right. And I just hate how a lot of people are undermining it and, you know, being so negative about it just because a black athlete isn't going to entertain them at a P5 school or their favorite school.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I just look at Shaz Preston. I mean, he didn't go there, obviously. He signed with Alabama. But Southern University was a hat that was on the table for him when he was making his announcement. You see Christian Miller with Florida A&M in his top five. Travis Hunter, we saw him flip to Jackson State. It's a trend that I want to see keep going because these are guys that are talented, really, really talented players. And like you said, Sauce, HBCUs are going into – they're getting guys to transfer from Power 5 schools to their school.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how talented they are because they're coming from Power 5 schools, so obviously they're talented. They're making these HBCUs better. So the more they do that, the more HBCUs get put on the map. I mean, with Deion, I mean, he's really going to have Jackson State on the map now because you know they're going to be on TV more than what they already were with Travis Hunter going there because he's immediately going to be their best player on both sides of the ball because Deion's giving them the opportunity to play both sides of the ball.
I mean, Jackson State had, I want to say, 5 ESPN games in the spring outside of the ESPN Plus stuff. Or ESPN3, but and then also this fall they were on there often. But then too, you got to look at it like this: guys like DeAndre Francois from Florida State, Jalen Jones from UF. These guys transferred to HBCUs. Treon Harris from Florida transferred to HBCU. He went to Tennessee State.
Yep.
I mean, so it's not that it's becoming trendy. It's just that it's being recognized, and you see a lot of high quality guys going there. You know what I mean? And if you look at history, HBCUs like Grambling have more Hall of Famers than certain schools. You know what I mean? Or they're tied with certain schools. And that's something that a lot of people are ignoring. Because before UTIP beat Kentucky in the NCAA men's basketball finals, they didn't want black athletes. They said all these narratives as to we're scared of competition. We can't handle pressure. We're not that good. We're into showboating and being flashy. But once Texas or El Paso and Texas beat Kentucky, then that's when everybody wanted to recruit. Oh, they can win. That's championships. Oh, we can earn money from them. You know what I mean? And that's the only reason why these schools want us anyway. It's the one to meet a quota and to two benefit. Other than that some of these schools and these programs and coaches don't care.
That's fair. I'm glad you brought up that Texas UTEP. They were Texas Western at the time. I'm glad you brought that up from when they beat Kentucky. Because here's a little fact, or I'm going to say it in the question form. Did y'all know that even after that game, Adolph Rupp didn't recruit a black player at Kentucky until 6 years later?
Yeah.
6 years. It still took 6 years after that game for him to recruit a black player.
Bro, one loss to a predominantly black team won't go end his racism and change his pride. You got to think about it. People are prideful, and they're going to be stuck in their ways until reality sets in and or some type of humility or humbleness comes about. So, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, neither am I. Don Haskins, if people remember, you know, he's in Texas. So, you know, back then, racism was bad. Because even though it's a movie, just watch Glory Road, because that's what that's about.
Oh, my God.
Look at what that team, look at what that team went through. And they was going through that. Like, the real players were saying, like, yeah, like, a lot of this happened for real. So, they were going through a lot. But,
like, it wasn't just
Don didn't care. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just classmates, teammates. It was fans. It was opponents. You know what I mean? It was refs. Like, it was strangers in a bathroom. It was people coming into their hotel room, throwing blood on their walls and stuff, going through their luggages, you know, trying to put all these scare tactics out. And they stood, you feel me? They stood tall through all of that. They had adversity. I mean.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Don Haskins didn't care what color you were. If you were good enough to play for his team, he was going to recruit you. He went to New York and got players.
Gary, Indiana.
You went to Gary, Indiana. Yep. Went to Houston and got a player. I mean, he didn't. He went to Detroit to get Bobby Joe Hill. So, I mean, he didn't care where you were from, what color you were. If you were good enough to play for him, he went and got you. So, I mean, some coaches, hey, they were like, hey, these guys can help. And he wasn't racist like that at all. Like, tell you what, he actually cared about his players. Now, if I could, I would ask if Neville Shedd's still alive. I would ask him, hey, look, man, is it true that Don Haskins really threw you off the team before the game and you had to play your way back on? Because I saw that, but I was like, okay, for him to actually go back after being thrown off and saying, hey, let me play.
Right.
It's like, hey, that show you what kind of character that he had.
Determinated.
When it comes to actually let him back on, I was like, okay, I could use this guy. Like, players.
Determination, bro.
So, like, you see with HBCUs, they're starting to get these high profile players. Now, I don't know if Christian Mills is going to pick Florida A&M, but if he does, hey, I'm gonna just say this right now. Y'all can thank Travis Hunter because he started the trend.
Yeah, bro. He honestly did. I knew it was gonna happen too. Like, whenever you have a kid of that, and not only is he just a great football player, he's like known very well. You know what I mean? Like, amongst
masses all over YouTube and stuff. Yeah, you say he's a great guy too. So
yeah. So I mean, it's gonna be contagious, bro. I hope to see more kids do that. And I think before like, you know, getting to anything more with it, I hate the fact that people are saying, like, oh, he cheated, this and that, like Dion. Bro, do you realize how dirty the recruiting game is, how it's always been? Like, now all of a sudden, because Dion Sanders at HBCU pulls a kid, which is, you know, fairly – I don't see anything wrong with what he did. Now you want to get mad. Now Florida State fans want to pull the race card and jump, bro. Like, are you serious? Like, you know what I'm saying? And some Florida State fans want him to be, like, banned from coming to games, jump like that. Like, all because he stole a recruit, bro. Nuts.
Bro, and what's crazy is they use Dion's name, image, his pedigree, all of that to get guys to come there.
But literally, because
he used who he is to get a guy to come to his school, it's a problem. That's what I'm saying, bro. A lot of these people, bro, I'm telling you, every day, through the grace of social media and the internet, people show their true colors, bro. They show their feelings, their beliefs, all of that. And when somebody shows their true colors, believe them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's not even just politics that shows people true colors. Like, you can see it through sports, bro. Like, it's been like that since I've been a part of any type of sports Twitter. Like,
you can always tell, bro. You can tell immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, if Dion, I would just say it. If Dion was white, would we be hearing these same conversations?
Bro, no. That's what I'm saying. We would
my
not.
My point is that.
If it was okay like John Gruden.
It's okay to say to be riding around in Mercedes Benz with recruits and getting any and everybody. Soon as Dion pull a play in this Cowboy, oh, it's a problem now. No.
Exactly.
Like, keep that same energy y'all got with Dion. Keep that same energy with Saban. When he get every player, when Kirby get every player. Keep that
right, bro.
Energy.
My exact point. Like, if it was John Gruden at Jackson State, bro, Nobody would even care.
Yeah, I don't think John Gruden ended up going to Jackson State after what we just found out. Yeah, I don't think there's no chance whatsoever that happened.
Yeah, zero chance.
He might get jumped if he set foot on that campus.
I mean, and then you got to look at other sports and other black coaches too. Like, if you look at Juwan Howard at Michigan, you look at Penny at Memphis, the flake they get for, you know, being black coaches. You know, people talk about their ability to coach, their ability to recruit and stuff like that. But nobody questions Coach K. Nobody questions Alabama's coach, who's randomly getting all these five stars. You look at Georgia Anthony Edwards and LSU. Well, LSU had a black coach at the time, but still, like, all these schools who are not really basketball schools all of a sudden landing five stars consistently. Like,
yeah, who's picking Georgia over Kentucky in basketball?
Right. Bro, who's seriously picking Alabama? Even though Alabama has been to a recent and they're starting to trend, like, all of a sudden this school is building up.
Like, you tell me you want to go to Alabama, and then there's Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Auburn.
Even Auburn, bro. Even Auburn. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I can say this about Alabama. They can kind of use the football program for them because they can say, hey, you can go to the university where football wins. We can join in what they're doing. We can come in, and we can start consistently winning, too. Now we got fans and seats with both sports. They can kind of do that. And plus, Nate Oates is a really, really good coach. So
I'll tell you what.
He is.
All these SEC schools like Alabama, whose fans are starting to become Bama basketball fans, they can thank Gator Twitter, because Gator Twitter set the standard for being a fan of every athletic program.
Oh, everything school. That ain't just something we say. We live that. Where everything is school.
Georgia fans picked up on it. LSU fans, Bama fans, a lot of them are doing that now. Like, because to be real, with basketball, a lot of them like Kentucky. A lot of them like Duke, UNC, just to name a few schools, bro. And all of a sudden, they like Georgia basketball. They like Florida State basketball. Because I remember my timeline around this time last year and the year before last was full of Florida State basketball fans. But now because
– you see how quiet it is?
Coach Ham is losing games. The boys got exposed. I don't see them tweet nothing about Coach Ham no more. Yep. I don't see them talking about banners, none of that.
They going right back to Duke, because most Florida State football fans I know are Duke fans in basketball.
Thank you. My boy Steph, he's from Texas. His family grew up Texas fans. Some grew up Florida State fans. He liked Duke basketball because he's a Coach K fan. And I think Coach K recruited one of his family members too. I think that's how he became a fan. But still, just as an example, Duke basketball fans are usually Florida football fans, Florida State football fans, Georgia, whoever, Miami, like, the list continues.
Now, when Coach K retires, is he going to like Duke still?
If they're real Duke basketball fans, they should. Because they know who's like, coming up.
And Sauce, because you're a Heat fan. That's like people questioning us as Heat fans when LeBron left.
Bro, we're still fans. That's what made me a bigger Heat fan when he left. Because next 3-4 years, bro, it was difficult being a Heat fan. I would leave my dorm. The Heat would have a 10, maybe 15 point lead with 2 minutes left. I come back from the store or something. We done lost by 4 or 5. And I tune in the next day and watch the game. Like, it was that deal, bro. Like, we had a lot of dark ages or dark moments after LeBron. But there was the same before LeBron too. Like, before we got him, bro, we were losing to the Celtics in 5. You know what I mean? Like, Paul Pierce killing us, KG killing us.
And then laughing on the side, on the bench, laughing about it too. Then we had the squad up. And then all of a sudden, KG, Ray Allen, them boys get mad. Because now we putting them out in 5. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to win.
I enjoyed it. But the only thing I hated about that was how KG and them did Ray Allen, even though it was management who didn't want to re-sign him. And his offers were Memphis, Miami, and Minnesota. But Memphis went with I forgot who they signed. I want to say it was Lou Williams or somebody like that. I forgot who. They signed somebody, and Ray chose us over Minnesota.
Yeah, Jerry, you're a Boston fan. What was up with that, man? I mean, Y'all ain't had to cast out Ray Allen like that.
They ain't want to pay him.
See, now he all quiet. If he's still on here. Jerry, you still on here? Oh, I think we may have lost his sound. Hold on. I think we may have lost his sound.
Yeah, that happens a lot on Anchor.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I've been a Heat fan since even before Dwayne Wade, so I know about the dark ages of Heat basketball.
Yeah, I was a Heat fan when we had guys like Antonio Walker, Alonzo, Hardaway. Like, that's when I was a fan. I think my first Heat game was, 2001, 2002. They played in Orlando. And my uncle, he wasn't a Magic fan, but he would watch the Magic. This is around the time they had Shaq and got rid of Shaq. So, so going to games, you know, I saw the Heat, and that's what made me like them, because red and black is a combo that I'm accustomed to, because my high school and everything was red and black, and that was a colorway that I liked. Now, that colorway didn't persuade me to like Georgia, because their fan base was weird. I didn't like Atlanta because I didn't watch the Falcons like that, even though I enjoyed Vic. But just seeing them boys, it made me a fan.
Yeah, I say this about the Heat. I'll never forget that year. The year Dwayne Wade got hurt real early in the season, and he hurt his shoulder. He had to miss the season. I was like, oh man, this already was going to be a difficult year, because we weren't that great already.
Yeah.
Then he went down, and we go 15-6-7. I was like, man, listen, I got to the point where, yeah, I was still watching, but I was like, oh man. It's like, you watch the game, you know they're going to lose. Like, that's how bad it was.
Yeah. And you would know it's crazy, too. The NBA back then, like, it wasn't as deep and talented as it is now. Because back then, you had maybe two or three total of, let me see, you had maybe two or three all-star and role players combined. And then a team full of rotation guys. And it was, you know, it was still good basketball. Now you have rosters full of amazing guys who can go on any other team and play and have success. Like, that's how talented and deep and rich the NBA is right now. That's why I enjoy watching it, the little bit that I do watch.
Yeah, because, I mean, now it's more parity. It's more parity in the NFL. Not NFL, the NBA now. Because, when you think about it, the Warriors, they got back to what they got back to being who they are. I mean,
yeah.
Phoenix Suns got really good. The Bucks just won a championship, so you know they're gonna be good for a while.
The Pacers are decent. The Clippers are decent or quiet. Well, the Clippers are quiet this year. The Nuggets are good. You can look at the Bulls. I'm not surprised with the Bulls, but I am excited for them, because I predicted them to be a pretty good when they were signing everybody, and people were telling me I was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they are, man, listen, they are really good. They are really, really good. And you know, they're gonna be a tough out whenever the playoffs do start, because that guy, they got DeMar DeRozan is a guy that you know he can lead you to, I ain't gonna say a championship, but he can lead you to some wins in the postseason. You pair him with Lonzo Ball and
LaVine.
And
it got V from the Magic. I can't say his last name.
Vucevic.
There you go.
Yeah, him.
Bro, they bounced back from getting rid of Porzingis. Like, when they got rid of Porzingis, I was like, dang, they tripping. But when they picked up V, man, look, he filling that role nice.
No, it was Larry Markkanen they got rid of too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got him go to Cleveland. Hey, that's another team right there. That's really good.
Shoot, the Mavericks got a squad too now. And they coached by Jason Kidd. Wait, is it Jason Kidd?
Yeah, he coaches them.
Okay, because Steve Nash coaches Boston, Brooklyn.
Yeah, Steve Nash is in Brooklyn.
And see, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, this reminds me of how, well, not Stack, but like, you had a lot of teams in NBA who were good. You know what I mean? Like, every year it was a different team in the East, different team in the West. But now it's like the full roster is good.
Yeah. And honestly, with Brooklyn, how is that going to work? Because Kyrie can only play in away games.
Wait, he can only play in away games.
Yeah, because New York still got that rule where, like, if you're not vaccinated, you can't play in games. You can't practice with the teams. So
that's weird.
Yeah, he can play in away games.
I don't know. That's weird, man.
Yeah, it is. But you know, that's the other thing. I mean. And see, now he and Durant in protocol still, so it's like he was finna come back and boom, now he in the protocols. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Kind of just lost connection there. But can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, because I think we had lost Jerry. So I'm just letting him know we sent a new one too. But yeah, we kind of went to basketball. But, like talking about Florida and like what is how can I word this question? How much attrition do you think we're gonna see? Because you know Bill and Napier is gonna weed out the bad apples, the ones that ain't gonna buy in.
Repeat the question.
Like, how much attrition do you think we're going to see within the team? Because I still expect a couple other guys to transfer. Because you know Billy Napier are going to weed out all the ones that ain't buying in.
Honestly, I agree. But also, I feel like we won't necessarily have as many transfers. But I think what will happen is a lot of the guys can mature. And a lot of the guys can adjust, you know, their viewpoints. Even though they'll still have their – you know, how could I put it? Their own personal vendettas and agendas and everything. But I think he can change. I think he can change the culture. Like, he can change a lot of people's mindset.
And I think we're starting to see that right now. As of right now, you know, it's early. We're kind of starting to see glimpses of that right now.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that because a lot of people can go on Twitter and tweet stuff or go on social media and post stuff, but then when it's time for games, they don't always perform that way. Because
you're right. I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Because as an athlete who was high school and collegiately, on a collegiate level, I was a part of the social media era where athletes use social media before games, after games, all that stuff. And I've seen plenty of people, even myself included, who made posts before games and track meets saying this is going to happen or I feel this way. But then when it comes time for it, you just didn't perform. And I feel like we're in that era still. Like, a lot of guys love social media so much, they're going to say whatever to get, you know, reactions or not, I ain't going to say fake confidence, but you know what I mean? Like, they'll basically lie to themselves because the real ballers are the ones who don't always have to post stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Jerry, yeah, I think we had lost you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
What I had sauce before you hop back on was how much attrition do you expect to see within the team? Because I was just saying, you know, Napier is going to weed out all the guys that don't buy in. So do you personally expect to see a lot of transfers or just guys that do you expect to see a few more transfers? Because I absolutely do. Yeah,
there should be, if we're doing the right thing, there should be.
Yeah, there are certain ones that that need to go. I ain't going to name no names, but we all know who some of them are.
Even one that just left, I think, shoot, that was good for us in a way, you know what I mean?
I know exactly who you're talking about. Then.
Because, I mean, like, bro, let's be real. Like, the wide receiver room before him, they were, like, older guys leading, like the Josh Hammonds of the world, the Tyree Cleveland's unselfish guys leading, and that molded the other guys that came in around him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, when you have a guy like that person I'm talking about, it kind of creates a nasty room, bro, like, kind of like a selfish, you know, egotistical room. And it shouldn't be that way. So
yeah.
I just his effort was poor all year. And if you're gonna give bad effort blocking because you're not catching the ball, then you can get out of the program. You know what I mean? Like, I get the quarterback situation was bad, but you can't just like play just lazy and lax and just all this stuff, man. Like, nah.
You wanna know what's crazy about that too, fam? What's that? In the early part of the year, that person gave effort trying to block. I think they got punched in the mouth or folded or both, and then they got, you know, timid, in my opinion. I think they got timid, and they ain't want no more of that.
Yeah, because he wasn't the same since the Alabama game.
Yeah,
he wasn't. And
he had a sparkle against LSU, though, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean – I'll be honest. Yes, that person needed to go.
They just had to.
You know how I am about my guys from the city, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you gotta go.
That person said they was gonna be gone after this year, regardless, because they only had one more in them. Like, they said this on Instagram Live.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was hinting towards that.
Yeah. And you can't do that. You got to be all the way in with the city. I mean, that tells me right there you went all the way in from the jump. So, like, we can't have that.
Yeah.
So all the way in, or, you know, either you all the way in or you got to go. It's just that simple.
It's very simple.
Now, is there... Because we got a bunch of guys, whether it's in the high school ranks or transfer portal. So, for each of you, give me one guy you want Florida to go after. Whether it could be from high school, it could be from the transfer portal. Who's the guy that y'all want to see on this roster that you feel like that can make an immediate impact?
Any safety, particularly this one, Jacoby Matthews, is welcome to my campus, bro. Like, I need him to come. I need him to come do what he does and, you know, set the standard, bro. We need that again. We need that nastiness. We need that, you know, that swagger back at safety. So as much help as we can get back there, I'm down for it. So he's the guy that I want.
He will be visiting on January 14th, so.
I think we get him, bro. I don't know.
I mean, he did push his commitment back. He was going to commit to the Under Armour All-American game. And then it came out earlier that he was gonna wait until National Signing Day, which I think is on February 2nd. So, I mean, Corey Raymond was recruiting him hard when he was at LSU. So, you know, LSU's still a team you got to look out for.
Yeah.
But Corey Raymond's gonna be all over him. So. And Kamari Wilson will be on campus by then because he's an early enrollee. Kamari's been going after him. So that's the guy that I know he wants to play with in the secondary. So he's going to be all over him whenever he hits campus.
I need those vibes back, bro. Him, I want ETN as well.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind him as well.
Jerry stole my guy, but it's a guy that I picked up on as of late. He's a inside linebacker, 4-star from Deerfield Beach. Javon Brown. We made his top 7. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind having.
Is he 2022?
I want to say 22 or 23. I can't remember. can't remember. Yeah,
I saw him release his top seven. We were in it. So yeah,
23. Never mind. I would take what's the JIT name from Miami Central. Lewis, I think his name. He played at
Terrence Lewis.
Terrence Lewis.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if he would get in due to, you know, some stuff from high school, but if we could, like, I want more linebacker depth. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't felt comfortable with our linebacker since David Reese. What's his name? Voshon Joseph. You know, guys like that. You know what I mean? Even James Houston was nice. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. He was nice, too, for us, even though – a lot of the fans don't give him that credit, but he was nice.
He was very nice.
Yeah. And I don't know, because it seemed like he won Miami, but, you know, I mean, I don't know if we've reached out to him. So, if we have, I can take him. If I know he's not going to be a problem, I'll take him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too plugged in anymore with – like what recruits we have a shot at, unless it's like the day of or the day before. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what Billy's board and the rest of the staff is looking like, because every day we're getting new guys for different positions. So I'm just as clueless as anybody, to be real. No, but I will say I love the vibes that we're having, you know, since he's been in Gainesville, like the army that he's building. The amount of guys in their track records is what's standing out to me. And I feel like we're going to be fine as long as they don't get lazy and complacent. You know what I mean?
I don't think he will. I mean, this guy's been hiring people since he got the job. So, yeah, I think Billy's going to do a heck of a job as far as all that.
I agree 100% with that one. And for me, my number one guy, I'm going to just go ahead and reveal it. Well, no, not from my article. Not from my article. My number one guy that's not from my article, I would say, is because I want this guy bad. Jacob Cowan, the transfer from UTEP. I said it before, and I say it again. He steps on campus, he's immediately the best receiver on the team.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, man. What he's done, I know it's UTEP, but that dude has been producing college. So, I mean, he would fill an immediate need at the slot position anyway, because with Copa gone, that's the guy you can replace him with. And he finds ways to, if you watch his film, he finds ways to get open every single time. He's just really, really productive.
I was going to say, outside of experience, I think he could probably be our maybe second best receiver, because I feel like Burke is our best receiver.
Me too.
In my opinion.
I can see it. I love his potential. I really do.
Like, not taking away anything that old dude has done in college and what he can do. I just feel like Burke has that it factor. And I've seen it when he was in high school. Like, I saw it from a few practice clips that he posted on social media. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just he's going against ones and twos and he's just a better matchup. It's that he made some freakishly amazing plays and he showed great athleticism and during those plays, too. So, I feel like he has that it factor. And I'm talking about Dallas Baker type stuff, man. Like, the leaping ability, the one hand catches, like that's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean I can see it.
Well, we saw that pick of him on Kyrie Elam. Or was that him or was that Nick Elkins?
Shoot, I don't know.
I was like, oh, okay, he like that. All right.
Elkins is another guy that I'm excited about. I feel like him and Zipper could be a dynamic duo in our tight end room. Now, I don't know too much about Odom because I haven't seen much
from
practice or in game. I know we have another guy. I think his name is Wilcox or something like that.
Oh, Gage Wilcox.
That's another guy I haven't seen, and I would be excited to see those guys in the tight end room. Not to, you know, veer off the subject, but
I've actually saw something about Kamori Gamble possibly coming back.
I don't know. I think with him, he put up enough to go day three in a draft, depending on what he does in a combine, if he goes or pro day. Mm-hmm. But if he does come back, I think he could – I think he could benefit from the culture change and also just being a leader, you know, helping Billy install that new vibe, that new the new mentality of the program, and also help his draft stock. Because I think with a good, healthy offseason, healthy spring and all of that, and he has production next year, I think Gamble can go round 2 through 4 or round 2 through 3 next year. Like, I ain't going to say
I think Kamori has soft hands. He just had a rough bowl game, but other than that, he was pretty good this year.
Yeah. Like, he was selfish with blocks. Like, I mean, unselfish with blocks. Like, he made a lot of key blocks for 26 and 27 to score.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Like, he's really good in space at making a defender miss. So, I feel like he has all the intangibles.
Yeah, because he was a wide receiver in high school.
Yeah, I think they had moved him due to weight, maybe, or his blocking ability.
Well, you're talking about Elkins, right?
No, Kamori.
Oh, Kamori. Yeah, I think he was a wide receiver in high school.
He was, bro. He actually was.
Yeah, and I want to see Zipper get more burned, too, though. I mean,
bro, every play Keon has, bro, that man goes over 20 yards every time.
And, bro, they use him as a primary blocker when he's in, too. I didn't understand that because he had good – like, they had good packages for him in, like, 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. But this past year, I don't know.
You remember that catch he caught from Emory against, I think it was Towson?
Yep, he scored that screen, yep.
That was a heck of a call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think defensively, like on this roster, a guy I want to see step up and play a lot more, even though he did in the bowl game, is Wingo. Derek Wingo showed what he can do when he was out there.
That's what some of the timeline been begging for. I know I was. Listen, man.
Wingo can play.
Bro, I was begging for all the young guys. I was like, give me 33, give me Bogle, Sumrall. I was like, Lee. Sapp, Powell, I was begging for all of them young guys to get in, but I feel like Wingo and probably Powell, right along with Hopper, will probably be our top three linebackers. I want Scoot to be in there, but I don't see Scoot probably getting that. I don't know. Hopefully I'm wrong.
I think he'll be in a rotation.
Yeah, I think he'll play next year. Because, like I said, what people don't know is he chose the red shirt this year.
Oh, and guess who else I forgot about? Chief.
Oh, Chief. Yeah, bro. I always forget about Chief Borders.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I got to hit him and Donovan back up. Make sure they ain't burn the place down. I know Donovan be on YouTube with the cooking videos. Him and Chief be cooking. I got to make sure they ain't burning the place down. Oh, they in their second house. They said they got their second house, so I got to make sure they ain't burn the first.
I didn't know Donovan and Chief are roommates.
Yeah, they roommates. I got to make sure they ain't burn the first house down.
Oh, that's on Donovan McMillan.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Kaiser.
Oh, that's what I was thinking really, about at first. But I forgot you said that, though. I forgot you said Chief and
Yeah, I need to check in with them to make sure they didn't they ain't burn nothing down because they be cooking. Boy, shot a cookie. He was darn near burnt the place down. I was like, hold on now. Smoke detectors going off.
What's y'all's thoughts on McMillan? Y'all think he's good? Y'all think he's a pretty boy?
I don't know. I ain't seen enough.
He played with violence now. I can tell you that now. Don't let that pretty boy image fool you. Like, he might be good for a few big hits.
Honestly, I feel like if we get what's his name? Hold up.
Jacoby.
Yeah, if we get Jacoby, I feel like our safety room is gonna be stacked, bro. Because you got 16, you got 22, you got McMillan, you got
forget about Kamar.
That's why I was about to get to him. I was thinking about the guys we already have on roster first, and then you add him. Like, come on, bro. That's too much depth. Like, we loaded, man.
I'm excited about Jordan Young, bro. I think he's freaking twitchy. Like, I like that kid guy. But, you know, the fan base is saying, though, some of the fan base is saying that Rashad Torrence is mid, so I don't know, bro. I don't know what they're saying. But
well, the only issue that I said I would have with Torrence, even though it's not all his fault, was the missed tackling. Like, that's the only excusable or only claim they could have about Torrence. Because other than that, Torrence did everything else. Like, he led the team in takeaways. You feel me? Like, he played through injury and prevailed, bro. Like, Georgia, he had 3 turnovers.
Right.
So, this whole he missed stuff, they only sent it because he had missed tackles. But here's the thing. If your safety is leading the team and missed tackles, like, that's a testament to your front 7 and what they lack.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because safety should not be leading the team in missed tackles. Listen. Or in tackles, period. I mean,
because he was leading the team in tackles in a few games. He had like 17 tackles one game, bro.
Exactly. But here's the thing, though, bro. Like you said, narratives and agendas, if it doesn't fit theirs, they're going to push it, bro. Because I know my boy Grohl, he's kind of realistic when it comes to football takes, but he was saying Torrence wasn't good because he had missed tackles. I don't know. I didn't see it. I was just like, I don't know.
I've seen Torrence do way too much good to say he's like – just mid. Like, the kid, he performs well. I mean, only reason he probably has a lot of missed tackles, bro, is because our linebackers are missing. You have a running back coming full steam at him, you know what I'm saying? Like, downhill.
But this is how I combat it. I said, so what safety was better? That's what I do now. I ask him. I say, so what safety was better than him last year? And you know what I hear?
Crickets.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they revert back to the missed tackles. Well, if he's so good, why did – no. You can't answer my question with a question, even though that's proper English. We're not doing that. Let's stick to the topic. Why do you say he's not good outside of missed tackles? You can't hear it. You don't hear that he gets caught in the lights or he's looking in the backfield.
He doesn't hear that, bro.
You don't hear he gets burnt. You don't hear he get mossed. You don't hear none of that.
Exactly.
And he comes to the line of scrimmage with violence. It's just some of the tackles he just does miss. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, at least he's not Bernie missing easy tackles in space against Alabama, giving up 3rd and long and 4th and short.
Right.
But the same people said Chauncey Gardner was trash 2017. So,
bro, so many people is wrong about Chauncey.
And it was just like, bro, his freshman year, he was a baller. Even his sophomore, he just had missed tackles.
He was playing injured, too. Like, 2017, exactly. He didn't have no choice because who else were we going to put out there?
Exactly.
Yep. So, y'all got any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
True, bro. I would just say, if you're a Gator fan, bro, like, just kind of wipe out the UCF game from the memory, bro, and just move on to the next season.
That's all. Oh, I already did that one.
Yeah.
I don't have to because I didn't see it.
Yeah. I saw it live. It's just disgusting. Just don't think about it.
That heat game with the big money. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty good game.
With that subtle, yeah.
Yeah.
But I pretty much the same thing. I wiped the UCF game out of my memory.
Don't you watch it.
Other things. We got a new coach, new era. Breath of fresh air. Recruiting is improving already. I'm just ready for the games to start again.
Right.
I got a couple of takes. Here's one. Just like how you were saying, we're in a new era. I feel like as a fan base, I mean, because we even did it when we had our last whistleblower play caller. You got to leave that man name and his staff alone. Like, don't focus on what went wrong in 2021. You know, don't build up these expectations and then tear down these kids because they don't perform to it. Even though y'all going to say they're grown men. I get that. But anyways, don't create these imaginary expectations in your head and then get mad when it doesn't happen because you ruin sports for yourself. Right. You know what I mean? And then, two, you got to be patient, man. Rome wasn't built overnight. A lot of people was over Billy when we lost Gibson and when we lost Evers and all of them. you know. But if you look at the momentum after that, he brought in the people that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you have to be patient and let a coach do what they have to do. We are fans. All we're supposed to do is cheer and buy merchandise and support the kids. I mean, that's literally all we were supposed to do. You can't stress recruiting. You can't stress all the other stuff that fans love to cry and complain over. Like, let stuff happen.
All right.
You're crying way too much, bro.
Like, go outside and breathe. Go slap skins with your significant other. go find some hobbies. Like, go to painting with a twist. Go eat some seafood or something. Go fishing. Bro. Go hiking. Go on a trail. Go work out. Go play the game. You feel me? Like, go spend time with your kids.
Yep.
Instead of crying over kids that you don't know in real life. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that is what I'm talking about. Stop protecting
your parents, for the love of God.
Man, it's a lot that they can do.
Like, that jump be annoying, man.
But I'm done with my rant, man. I said what I had to say. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Also, don't be weird. Here's another. Don't be weird.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely that.
Oh, I lied. Here's another one. And think for yourself. Don't let the timeline think for you. Just because you see... Because
you're going to get caught in a misconception.
Man, listen. Don't be out here believing these group chat lives, timeline narratives. Bro, form your own stuff, man. Like, it's okay to like a player and dislike certain players. Like, it's okay. You can like and dislike coaches, too. Just don't follow trends and try to be like everybody else. Be your own person.
Yep. Jerry, I think you got the song.
Oh, shoot, bro. I forgot all about the song of the week. Let me go to my playlist.
He about to lose sound.
Do I Deserve by... Actually, no. Do Fainting by Gunna.
You said Faint?
Fainting. I'll send it to you.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go with that. Hey, before we log off and wrap up, let everybody know where they can follow you, everybody.
Yeah, man, you can follow my Twitter at JBreezyII, and you can follow my Instagram at JLamar_II.
All right. Sauce, what about you?
You can find my podcast on Instagram and Twitter at SauceKicksPod, and you can find my main Twitter at UFSauce.
Y'all follow all my cousin stuff, bro.
Yeah, follow all that. Stream the podcast, like, subscribe, everything. Definitely. And you can follow me on Twitter at AceWade1 and on Instagram at Ace_Wade1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Inside_Swamp and on Instagram at Inside_FortAthletics. And with that, this has been another great episode of the Swamp Inside Fort Athletics. We back, and we're going to be back consistently again. With that being said, with your co-host Anthony Beck and Harry Brown and our special guest Sauce, we leave you as we always do. Go Gators, and God bless.
God bless y'all, man.
GG's.
Yes, sir.
Take heat. Fuck these niggas up.
Yeah. Make a bleed for the season. I got pretty teens overseas, yeah. Shopping sprees for a week, yeah. Like FBG, I got free best. Up by the trees, hard to breathe in. You spinning G's for no reason. Let her go sleep, she not leaving. Craving the hills like I'm fiending. By the dollar, with that Panamera, yeah. It's my ring that make canary yellow. I'm sipping codeine, I'm moving slower than Donatello. After she don't let me fuck, but I swear I won't sweat her. I'm running the millions up on God, my fam doing better. Been broke, then break us apart, got rich, we still together.
We stone the weather, you get jammed, I write you letters. We block the feather.
the Paracelis. Gave up goulash, stellin' my vocals, making a pussy water. Bought a new Louis, found no flowers all over my white Margiela's. Make them bleed for the season. I got pretty teens overseas, yeah. Shopping sprees for a weekend, yeah. Like FBG, I got free bands. But the trees hard to breathe in. You spinning G's for no reason. Let her come sleep, she not leaving. Craving the hills like I'm fiending. Better Miley Cyrus, yeah. We can get up at the private party, yeah. Leaking ain't no secret, no, I drip the hardest. The valet can't hold my key, I let my people park it. Got that Escalade BP, cause I might be a target. They screaming at me, say I'm their favorite artist. Pay what I want, no back and forth, don't do no barking. We cross the margin. Fuck niggas barking, main reason I keep a carbon. We burn like arson, snakes in the garden. We reach, I beg you pardon. My little niece is starting. Her vehicle's foreign, feel like I'm soaring. Make them bleed for the season. I got pretty teens overseas, yeah. Chopping sprees for